known each other 38 years. We've been married 33. We dated 5. And when I went to California to meet her grandparents, we go in there, we sit in their kitchen, and obviously, what are you going to school for? What are you doing? And I said, I'm going to be a minister. And then he said this, you must be the one with the Cadillac. I'm giving you a precursor today. Some of you are new, some of you have been here the whole time, but we're talking about what we believe. And I would be remiss, it's not about the pastor getting a raise, it's not about me getting anything out of this. I'm going to God's word, and we're going to look at what he says about giving. All right? Has nothing to do with me, has to do with you and God. And so we're talking about what the Bible says about that today. You say, well, why are we talking about that today? Some of you haven't been here, and that's fine. It may be new. It's the fact we're going through what we believe. And we're going through what we believe about what the Bible says about giving. And a lot of times we reduce it just to monetary things. And so we're going to take a hard look at that today. You know, you look at the plate, you look at the envelope, you ask the question, why are we doing this, or why do we take the time? And then I want to ask you the question today, why do you give? Why do you not give? And we struggle to know why. We struggle to want to. We struggle to let go. We struggle to know where to start. We struggle to trust God. So we're going to look at that today. And you can choose not to give. And again, we're not just talking about monetarily. Or you can choose to give. I'm reading the mail. I'm just telling you where God's at. And do you think really God needs anything you have to give? No. But isn't it awesome that we can be a part of his kingdom? So your points will spell out the word give. So let's look at this. And I guess somebody's going to have to start giving me a signal when I go through the slides and don't read the whole statement. But that's not that funny. All right. And another thing, too, I need somebody in the back if the sound goes. I mean, the sound guys are great, but sometimes they can't hear it. Isabel, if the sound sounds weird, just go to those guys and say it sounds weird. OK, so that way I won't mention it. And those guys do a great job, but sometimes something happens. So let's look at what we believe as Baptists. God is the source of all blessings, temporal and spiritual, all that we have and all that we owe to him. Christians have a spiritual debtorship to the whole world, a holy trusteeship in the gospel, and a binding stewardship in their possessions. They are therefore under obligation to serve him with their time, talents, and material possessions, and should recognize all these are entrusted to them to use for the glory of God and for helping others. According to the scriptures, Christians should contribute of their means cheerfully, regularly, systematically, proportionally, and liberally for the advancement of the Redeemer's cause on earth. I'm pausing to see, is that it? Okay. All right, I did it. Good job. I'm so proud of myself. All right, so let's look at the word. Yeah, I'm extra sarcastic today, so anyway, yeah. Okay, stewardship. Let's look at that word. We don't use that word a lot. And when I think of the word stewardship, is it a guy in the bathroom with a towel that hands you mints? I don't know. And if you find a guy in the bathroom with a towel handing you mints, you probably should be worried of that. But anyway, but let's look at the word stewardship. It's the responsibility to manage resources God has given us the care of. It's our responsibility to manage the resources God has given us to care for. And so we're to be stewards. If you notice, it didn't stop at money. It's this earth. It's the families God gives us. It's a lot of things. We are stewards of what God has given us. We have a choice what we will do with this great treasure. And so Matthew 6, verses 19 and 21 says this, "Don't store up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroys, where thieves don't break in or steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." I'm going to clarify again. It doesn't mean God calls us all to be destitute. It's not money that is evil. It's the love of money that's evil. And if we want to go to America, America is one of the richest nations in the world. And when it comes to the gospel, our part more is to give money to the furtherment of the gospel in other areas. And so money is a neutral thing. It's the love of it. And that's just one aspect. We have a choice to give on or not to give what God says. And we show this. We have to embrace giving. And to understand that, we have to understand the Christian life. So let's go back to Genesis 1, verses 27 through 30, and see how we're created. And we're talking about stewardship. So God created man in his own image. He created him in the image of God. He created them male and female. We've already covered that pretty clear. God blessed them and said to them, "Be fruitful, multiply, fill the earth, and subdue it. Rule the fish of the sea." A lot of you guys like doing that. "The birds of the sky," turkey season, "every creature that crawls on the earth." And God said, "Look, I have given you every seed-bearing plant, lavender rick on the surface of the earth, and every tree whose fruit contains seed, and they will be food for you. And all the wildlife of the earth, for every bird of the sky, and every creature that crawls on the earth, everything having breath and life in it, I have given every green plant for food." And so it was. So that's a lot to take care of. We won't even get into that. There's a lot of environmentalists and people that want to take care of the earth, and then they go off on a different spin without God, but we can go along with them on being conservationists and stewards of taking care of the earth God's given us, not worshiping it. There's a difference. And we are the responsibility to be good stewards of the resources God has given us. And so the core, the heart of giving and understanding, we are stewards of all God has given us. All God owns it all. We are called to manage his resources. We haven't always done a good job on that. And so your first feeling is this: we give because God is the source of all we have been given. That's why we give. A lot of us like to be the self-made whatever. But how did you get life? How did you get breath? And we need to understand that God owns it all, and we will answer to God for what we do with his resources. Christians are especially responsible for stewardship. So what's the problem? The problem is the sin of self. It's an opposition of God that we believe in human self-sufficiency, and we enjoy the world we didn't create. You know, that's what we need to understand. There's an intelligence, the design of this world. I don't believe, even if I didn't believe God created the world, if I didn't believe in Christ, there's an intelligence. This is not by chance. Everything is so exact. And so, but what happens is when we get away from God, we forget, how did I get here? I did this. Human self-sufficiency. We're enjoying a world that we didn't create. Being a good steward of what God is giving us is an important responsibility. Here's your next fill-in. We give because we're indebted to God to manage what is given to us. We're indebted to him. I want to be really careful about that. We have free will. I don't feel burdened on giving anything to God. But think about it. If somebody's given you everything, you recognize that. It's not that we can't buy our salvation back, but we owe God for all that's been given to us. He doesn't ask for it back, but it's the fact that you are the source. You are the giver. And you placed me here to be a steward of what you've given us. Life, the earth, the blessings of God. Beyond life, we have been given the gift of eternal life. We've been given the gospel. We belong to Christ and all. And that is ours because, and all that is Christ is because of the gospel, the good news. Christians understand that all earthly goods are to be enjoyed temporarily, and that we've been given the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ, to save us eternally. See, this is what's different. The lost may understand the word blessing, but not where the blessing comes from. But as Christians, we understand the biggest thing we've been given is the gospel. We talked about it last week, and we'll unpackage that for a minute. And all who have received the gospel, realizing the good news is you can have a relationship with God. You're not destined to separation and eternal torment away from God, which is hell. If you choose what Christ, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. When you receive the gospel, then we're commanded to yield to or even sacrifice for the gospel. I keep asking the question, Christians, why are we still here? Because this world is not getting any better. We're here because he wants all to be saved and none to perish. And so why does the pastor constantly focus on the fact of, hey, I need to help you get the gospel out there? Because that's what we've been given as stewards as part of the Great Commission. That's the only reason we're still here. And we must not love the world, and we must not love the things of the world. And the most valuable possession that we have is the good news. If you had one thing, look at what we talked about last week, Christ's last words. Go, tell, make disciples, teaching them. And then he sends the Holy Spirit to empower us. So this is very important. It's our most precious possession. This is why we talk about the gospel all the time. This is why we give is for the gospel and the furtherment of the gospel. We're redeemed people who put what we've been given into the hands of God at God's disposal for the Great Commission, for the glory of God. So mature Christians understand no amount of money, no amount of effort can save us. Only Christ can save us. And so Christian stewardship includes our material possessions, our energy, our time, all that we have for the gospel. I like what Rich Mullen said, I want to be an arrow pointing to God. Who are you pointing to? Most people definitely who don't know Christ are just pointing to themselves or something else that's not going to get them anywhere. But there's a lot of Christians that aren't pointing to Christ because they're afraid of what's going to happen. Christian stewardship, like I said, includes all those things, our talents for God's glory to build up the kingdom. And it's not just material things, but all that we have. We're obligated to serve God with all that we have for the gospel, our words, our actions. We give because of what we've been given. We've been adopted into the family of God. And anybody that understands adoption, when somebody's adopted, they actually probably have more rights than a child that's born into the family. Because the child's born, you just have a birth certificate, you know what you're supposed to do. But when a child is adopted, you have to pick them, you have to go through a process, the whole bit, a lot of legal things that make it official. So we're adopted as children of God, and we're joint heirs with Christ. And so that we have all access to the kingdom. And that's awesome. We love, we give because he first loved us and gave us. Your next fill-in. We give because we value what's been given, the gospel. See, there's so much stuff that gets in our way. And there's so many things that we get distracted by. Just minimal stuff. It's because Satan wants to get us off what's the most important. He wants you to get mad about what's in the news. He wants you to get distracted about how the world's going. And all of it's horrible and all of it's bad, but why are we still here? What are you a steward of? Everybody's Chicken Little and the sky is falling. I don't think they're being Chicken Little. I think the sky is falling. But what are you supposed to be, Christian? What possession are you carrying? You have the words of life and death. You have the words of hope. That is your greatest possession. What did the gospel do to you when somebody gave it to you? And so that needs to be, we need to value the gospel. This is why you blessed me to stand here today. This is why we have VBS. This is why we have offerings. This is just the material part. But notice we ask for people to be a part of it. Notice I talked to you about how I want to help you evangelize in the areas that you're at. It's all about the gospel. The only reason I'm here is because I believe that there's a life or death choice for eternity, and it's the most important choice you need to make. And so everything in my fiber, in my being, as Russell, not Russell a pastor, but as Russell, a fellow believer, says this. This is the mission. No plan B. And this is our greatest possession, Christians. And then what do we do with it? So many times that greatest possession, we just put it in a box. Got to go garage selling for a couple of days, and I got some good finds. I'm not going to tell you about all of them because I don't want my boys to know some of the stuff I found. But anyway, so the last garage sale I went to, Now, I know it's surprising to you. You all know I'm a geek, okay, whatever, and I'm into Lord of the Rings and all that kind of stuff. And so I'm looking for original copies of the Lord of the Rings when I went to school. So I'm a little bit old. I'm 55, okay, whatever. So that's a little bit old copy. I've looked online on some places to get them used. I couldn't find them and all that kind of stuff. So I'm not going to say I gave up, but I wasn't too worried about it because I knew what I was facing. So we go to this last garage sale, and I don't think the lady's going to watch me online, but she was a little sassy, the lady running it. But anyway, so I'm going through the boxes, and I find a complete set of the old Lord of the Rings. And so Gigi's going to help me fix one of them, okay, since she's a retired librarian. She doesn't know, but she does now. But anyway, so, okay, Heather's there with me, and I'm like, shut up, don't get excited, downplay it. I grab the whole set, I get up there, because in Rogersville, Missouri, what's the chance of all the rednecks, me included, that you're going to find a complete set of the Lord of the Rings at a weird garage sale, okay? So I got him, I'm trying to play cool, because I'm really, because Heather knows, it's like, just shut up. I get up there, there's a lady sitting there, and she's like, oh, I saw those, I was going to read them or whatever. I'm like, shut up, give her the money, and then they're yours, you know, that kind of thing. And then I'm having to listen to her talk to this other lady about how to clean purses and stuff that she bought, and then this lady's being grumpy. It's like, don't negotiate, because when I'm at garage sales, Heather has two rules. If you're having a garage sale, I can't negotiate, so if I ever say I'm not buying it, it's because you priced it too high. Okay, I'm just telling you. But she says with church people, I'm not mean when I negotiate, but I always start at half, okay, and then we go from there. But on this, I was going to play the full amount because this was something that was very precious to me. So I got them for 50 cents each. Yes! I didn't negotiate. But let's think about that. What do we do with the gospel? We put it in a box, the most precious thing, and we hide it when this is what people need. And I'm not mad at you. I'm mad at the devil, and I'm mad about us valuing the wrong things. Those books meant a lot to me, and I saw their value. Guess what? That's what God sees in the people that are around you that are lost. They're in a bin, they're not going anywhere, and they are His creation, not His children, and they have value. And you need to take the most precious possession you have, the gospel, walk with them, spend the time being a part of their lives, and when God gives you the point, you let them know about the most precious gift you have. We need to value the gospel. Therefore, all we've been given, all we are giving people, we honor and worship God through giving what is His. So giving is not a burden, but a blessing, because we all have been given much and we can find joy in the privilege of giving. We give cheerfully. So let's go back to how we give. He tells us to give cheerfully, generously, regularly, in obedience to God's command. Now see, a lot of this we just think about the plate. Now, we see that what we're doing here, I'm going to get here in a minute, I'm going to break it down, some scriptures. What we're doing here every Sunday is biblical. The reason we have the plates at the entrance is COVID kind of, you know, took care of that, and used to we'd pass it and stuff, but and I got to remember to let you know that obviously you guys have gotten that down, but it's an act of worship, but that's just one aspect. We're going to break that down, but I go back to the first question I told you, does God need your money or anything you have? No. You get to be a part of the Great Commission and the gospel, not just through giving monetarily, but giving your life, your time, your talents. So let's go back to this. We give cheerfully, generously, regularly, in obedience to God's command. So how do we do that practically? So we're going to look at the principles of giving, okay? And we're going to break that down for a minute. So you go to Matthew 6, verses 1 and 4. Be careful not to practice your righteousness in front of others to be seen by them. Otherwise, you'll have no reward for your Father in heaven. So whatever you give to the poor, don't sound a trumpet before you, so as the hypocrites do in the synagogues on the streets, to be applauded by people. Truly, I tell you, they have their reward. But when you give to the poor, don't let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will be rewarded. So let's break this down for a minute. The whole principle here is you don't give to show off. Now, what they were doing at that time, there was this thing, they called it the trumpet, but in the synagogue and the temples, they had a box, and it almost was like a horn, And the bell part of the horn, it was like that game that you see at Incredible Pizza or whatever. That it wasn't like you put the quarter in, it spirals down. It didn't necessarily spiral down, but let's say you got a huge bell on the end, and you got this long stem that goes into a box, kind of like an old Victrola for some of you that are old enough, the dog and RCA. Yeah, I'm going way back on that one. But you would take your money and put it in there, and that was called sounding the trumpets. So think about it. If you wanted people to think you gave a lot, I'd put a bunch of pennies in there. Not that I'd do it. Wow, he's giving a lot. Okay, whatever. And so that was showing off. So what does that look like today? Oh, I'm going to get in so much trouble on this next statement. I'm not against plaques. I'm not against honoring people. But in a church, you better be careful. I remember the first church after you guys kicked, you didn't kick me out of here. He sent me to seminary. Okay. Woo, we got that problem out of the way. Now he's back. He's like gum on a shoe. Anyway, so the first church that we went into full time after seminary, they remodeled an area. I was in my first office because most offices for the youth minister in a small church was a semi janitor's closet or whatever. Okay. But we were getting a full office. I'm telling you what, this church had a plaque problem, and I'm not talking about their teeth. There was a plaque on everything. And if I'm insulting you, I don't mind honoring people. We got to be really careful. But whose church is this? It's not mine, not yours. It's God's. Should you give? This is this principle. There are places to honor people. I think that's a wonderful thing. This church had a plaque. I mean, I'm sitting in my office. It's a regular window. There's nothing fancy. It's not even stained glass. And there's a plaque on it with somebody's name. Like, really? Okay? And this is what it's talking about here. And here's another thing, too. I mean, when I find out what somebody's giving, fine. But I don't want to know what you give. The reason I don't want to know what you give is I don't want to treat any of you differently. Can I figure it out? Yeah, not what you're giving, but, you know, I'm not dumb. But I don't want to focus on that because I don't want to teach. I don't want to treat someone who gives differently than someone that doesn't. And in the rare times, this is very interesting to me, the rare times I've accidentally found out what somebody gives, I've found out personally the ones that yap the loudest give the least. But I'm not saying that's always true, but and it's not even about financially giving. But I don't want to treat any of you different because I'm here to minister to you. And then I've had people, I have to understand, I don't want to be blessed by you because I have to, but you bless me in a lot of ways. But then I've also had people that have said, well, when I die, I'm giving this much to the church. And basically they were saying, if we don't do this, I'm not giving it. And I go back to the original question. Does God need your money? No. Do I need your money? And then I've had some people, you remember when I did this to you? And I'm not showing off, but this is accountability, or did this for you? Do you want me to write you a check? Because if you did that to influence me or influence God, and I've had ministers that's made us all look bad. I served under one. He'd go to every church member. When are you taking me out to dinner? And I would be standing there just like, really? And so it's a balance. But you have those type of people. They want to be seen. And I think the biggest problem we have in the American church is false humility. I don't want you to look at me, but I do want you to look at me. I don't want the whole congregation to know, but under the girdle, they know who gave it. It's not the fact that when it gets out, but a lot of times it's a control issue, it's a pride issue. And what he's saying here, just give. Don't worry about whether anybody knows it, because then that gets into more about you and not about God. Then you go to Matthew 23:23. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites. You pay a tenth of mint, dill, and cumin, and yet you have neglected the most important matters of law and justice, mercy, and faithfulness. These things should have been done without neglecting the others. Now, see, we talked about the financially giving, and that there, I told you I'm a recovering legalist, which means everything's rules, everything's black and white. I do not believe in gray areas, but I believe in grace areas. Okay? But you're talking about, I'm going to tithe off everything, but on the important things, no, not so much. I'm not giving you any of that. Again, if you think we're just talking about money, he's talking about everything we have. They were, I gave my money, I gave my amount, I gave just that amount, not what God may be telling me to give, but then how much mercy did I give somebody? How much forgiveness? How much love? You know, we don't... When we give, don't neglect justice and mercy and faithfulness. I've got a grandson that's going to be born anytime. If we get a call, Larry's finishing the sermon, or Dan, or something like that. But, you know, his name is going to be Micah James, and it is Micah James. And so I've been reading through Micah, and Micah really talks about, no, people, this is what the Lord requires to do what is right, to love mercy and walk justly before your God. So many times we give the exact amount, but what are we giving of ourselves? Then, you know, Luke 12, verses 16 through 21, I'm not going to read that, but that's the parable of the barns and the failure. We store up all the stuff that we're not going to use, and we're not generous towards God. I'm just going to save it up. I think saving, I think preparing are things God created us for. I think that's good. But we need to hold on to those things loosely when God says, hey, this is why, or this is what I want you to do. Acts 17:24 says this, the God who made the world and everything in it, he is the Lord of the heaven and earth, does not live in shrines made by hands. God made all of us, and all is God's. But we somehow, some way, because, well, who gave you the job? Who gave you the breath, the energy to do the job? Every perfect and good gift is from God, but somehow we forget that. Acts 20:35 says this, In every way I've shown you that it is necessary to help the weak by laboring like this, and to remember the words of the Lord Jesus, because he said, it is more blessed to give than receive. Now all of us, in our base, how we've been raised, some of you are just naturally giving. I have my crackpot theory on if you grew up in a big family or if you're an only child. And my wife, yes, she has a brother, but they're about 7 years apart. I grew up with four kids. I'm the second in that. And we were like, if you didn't get it now, you're not going to get it. Okay? And then also, if it was your birthday and something special, yeah, enjoy that. And then you got these only children like, oh, I'll just give because I had everything to play with myself and you guys make me sick. But anyway, here's the deal. A lot of us have a base on our giving. So with me, it's like, that's mine. You know, I mean, and you say, well, Pastor, you don't seem like that. Hopefully I can push that off. But there are certain bastions that, and my boys push it, you know, because I'll save for stuff. Everything I have has been from birthdays or Christmas or plasma, you know, and that kind of thing. And then I'll have boys that'll just blup, 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 and I'll be like, where's my shoes? Where's my whatever? And it'll be like, hey, I had to work for that. Okay, yes, okay, you only children, you're more giving, okay, whatever. But we all have a base. You see what I'm saying? It doesn't matter what our base is. But you need to recognize your base. I don't naturally it's like, that's mine. Now, we all have the sin of self. And even for the only children, there's a point where that's yours. We need to understand our base, throw it out the window. God, it's all yours. And so, you know, I get in trouble sometimes because I've got some people that make stuff now, they put my initials on it because I'll be with somebody and it's like, I need to give this to that person. You know, and then, so I think some people are now putting my initials on stuff so I don't give it away because they gave it to me. Okay, whatever. But you go, everything is God's, okay? And you go to the next one, 2 Corinthians 9:7. Each person should do as he has decided in his heart, not reluctantly or out of compulsion, since God loves a cheerful giver. God loves a cheerful giver. That means happy to give. I like this verse. This is how the Old Testament and the New Testament have changed. We find the tithe in the Old Testament, that it can be that he set up with Israel, that they give a tenth of everything, the first fruits. We even see in Genesis where Cain and Abel, the reason Abel's gift was better because Abel gave of the first fruits. He didn't give of what was left over. I want you to understand, God doesn't need your money, and God doesn't need you to be a reluctant giver of whether it's your time, your talent, your money, your possessions, or anything. I want you to understand that. If you're giving begrudgingly, do you think he needs that? But notice what he says, not reluctantly, out of compulsion, since God loves a cheerful giver. Why do I give? Because I'm a pastor and I have to. No. I give because I know that God has given me so much. And I'm talking for Russell. I'm not talking for you. For me, it would be sin if I didn't give. And not because I'm a pastor, because God has given me this, and the least I can do is give this back. Not just, and there's some of you that can give financially, but in my case, it's not about just giving financially. I've been able to give of my time and talents for the kingdom. You can give of your time and talent. We've tried to reduce it down to just money. But let's go back to how this church operates. You all have different times and talents that you give to this church, and you're giving. But don't do it reluctantly. You don't do it to be saved, to stay saved. You do it because you are saved and you love God and what He's given to you. So God loves a cheerful giver. That doesn't mean it's not going to hurt sometimes. That doesn't mean you're going to be yippy-skippy, but anytime you feel like you have to do something or you're being made to do something, that's not being a cheerful giver. Philippians 4, verses 11 through 12 says this, "I don't say this out of need, for I've learned to be content in whatever circumstances I find myself. I know how to make do with little. I know how to make do with a lot. In any and all circumstances, I've learned the secret of being content, whether fed or hungry, whether in abundance or need. Be content with what you have." And guys, I want to tell you right now, you're in a society that ever increasingly, the way it is presented to you, it's not the fact that phones are bad, not the fact that social media is bad, but you know our phones are listening to us. And you know they know what you like, and suddenly you see the ad, and suddenly you see you can finance it, and suddenly you see you can do this. Suddenly it's the next new thing, and it affects your pastor too, and we need to learn to be content. Also, just because God blesses you with a lot of money, I remember Dave Ramsey, what he said, which is great for financial to have you be biblical, where is your stopping off point? Where the rest of it you give to God. Now, yes, we need to give to God. But a lot of people, when you ask, I think we talked in our men's group about Rockefeller, when they asked him when was enough, he didn't have an answer. It's always more. And what you need to figure out, just because you make more, when is enough for you and the rest of it, it's just going to be cake for God. I can't answer that for you because that's neutral. But we need to understand that. And so, we need to be content where we're at. And I'm just going to tell you, that's a struggle we all have, but our society is making it a lot harder. This is why you probably need to limit. These are neutral tools, but you need to spend more time with God and limit the phone and limit those things that are constantly trying to get you not to be content. 1 Peter 1, verses 18 and 19 says, "For you know that we have been redeemed from the empty way of life inherited from your ancestors, not with perishable things like silver and gold, but with the precious blood of Christ, like that of an unblemished and spotless lamb. Money doesn't save us. Ultimately, we give God all the glory, but here and now we give to the cause of Christ, to the advancement of the gospel. We see the standard of this in the tithe, like we talked about, that was established in the Old Testament. And then Malachi 3:10 says this, "Bring the full tithe into the storehouse, that it may be food in your house. Test me in this way, says the Lord of armies. See if I will not open the floodgates of heaven and pour out a blessing for you without measure." Now, he's saying this in the Old Testament, but I want to help a lot of you. Do you think God wants you to pay your bills and be responsible? Because that's an example as a Christian. And if you look at the stats on the average family and the amount of debt that they're in, do you think God wants you to pay your bills? Most definitely. But for some of you, you need to test God in this. It's not even about paying the tenth, because now we're in the New Testament and God loves a cheerful giver and one that doesn't give out of compulsion and one that doesn't give reluctantly. No telling what God eventually will tell you to give. Again, not just talking about money. But those of you that have struggled to pay your bills, yes, God wants you to be out of debt. God wants you to honor your debts, because I hear too many stories of Christians and churches that didn't pay their debt and they have ruined the witness for the kingdom of God. But you know what? For some of you, you need to develop the habit of giving. And what that means, I want you to look at this week and look at the things that you buy regularly. Yes, we make Sonic runs. Yes, I know what our Sonic Run drink is because it's in there automatically. And yes, I'm giving, so I'm not getting rid of the Sonic Run. Okay, but let's look at this. A lot of times people think I got to give the 10th I've got to give this amount. I want you to start a habit. I want you to say, you know what? I spend this much on this. I'm going to start a habit of regularly giving to God. And for some of you, it's not about doing it electronically, but in the society that we live in, some of you, that's easier to start that. And again, if you think I'm trying to get money from you, I'm not. I'm just telling you what he's saying in Malachi. Some of you struggle because you think I've got to pay the tenth. No, just start a habit. And for some of you, doing it electronically, it's doing it every week and you don't notice it, and it's easier to do that habit. But again, God is saying in Malachi, test him in that. And guys, I'm not talking about name it, claim it, and plant a seed. This is between you and God. I'm delivering the mail. Not out of compulsion, not out of have to. If you're not there, don't do it. But I know a lot of you struggle with, I need to pay my bills. I need to get out of debt. Start a habit. Maybe a dollar, maybe $2. I don't know. But that habit is where you need to start. Real believers understand we bear the same responsibility for the kingdom. We have been called by Christ. We're being transformed by Christ. We are called to a higher level of giving, and we're motivated more and told to have to be a cheerful giver to where our treasure is. Christians must seek to give generously to the local church and to the gospel causes, knowing that God loves a cheerful giver. Again, does God need your money? No. Does God want you to give it begrudgingly? No. Is the pastor trying to raise the church budget? No. Guess what? We're doing fine, and God's using us. We're just talking about your relationship between you and God and what you need to do. Your last film, when we give, give with enthusiasm. God loves a cheerful giver. Now, if you go to the plate like, yippee, skippy, I'm going to throw that in, then you're just making fun of the pastor, okay? But what I'm trying to say is this. It has nothing, again, I hate this because it's not just about the plate. What are you doing with your time? Everybody here has talents that I do not have. And don't you think God needs them for the kingdom to point people to the gospel? How many people are doing in our society where we have single parents that maybe need help with their houses, maybe need help with their cars? I'm just using that as an example. How many children do not have a positive male figure or grandparent in their life? It's not just the plate. It's all of us. And so I got some questions as we close here today and for this week. It'd be good if I looked at the question again. Where do you feel you're getting everything from? See, a lot of you, some of you may need to realize this life I didn't give for myself. And you need to realize that there's a creator that created you for a relationship with him, and you may need to come to salvation today. But then there's some of you that know Christ that somehow, somewhere, I earned this. I did this. Yes, you worked hard. I am not discounting hard work. I'm so proud of all of you that, and I'm proud of young people that go in and earn things, and we appreciate that. But who gave you the job? Who gave you the energy? To God be the glory. And so you need to check that. How much are you giving? I'm not talking about a monetary amount. Oh, I just give this because I have to. I just do this amount because I have to. He wants your whole life. He wants, and that doesn't mean you're going off to the mission field. That means your mission field is whatever you're in, point to God with everything you got. So how much are you giving? Then another question, what do you value in your giving? Why are you giving? I'm giving it because I'm supposed to, because that's what you do when you go to church. I'm giving of my time because that makes me feel good, which that's not bad. The only reason we're doing this, guys, is for the gospel. Because we believe that there's a hell to shun and a heaven to gain, and that is a possession that you have been given, and you need to get that out there. You need to value the gospel. This is why we give the money. This is why you allow me to be here. This is why America is one of the biggest forces financially to get the gospel. And guess what? More people are getting saved outside of America than in the U.S. That's not something to be proud of, but a lot of it is from churches our size and smaller that give for the furtherment of the gospel. We need to value that. And then lastly, how are you giving? I have to. I don't want to. Really? then stop. Oh, pastor said stop. Tithes are going to go down. You know what? It's between God and them. God does not need your money. He does okay without you. But when you get right and realize, I'm allowed to give, do it. God loves a cheerful giver. And so as we stand to our feet, pastor, how's this invitation turn out? Well, I don't see everybody running to the altar or running to the offering plate or running to volunteer for something. Whatever you need to figure out this week, how much are you giving of your life, of all that you have? But the invitation right now is this. You may realize that you need something to be given to you.